The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Craig Forsyth teaming up on this edition, looking ahead to the best of Sunday's racing. I say the best of Sunday's racing, just pretty much whatever's left on Sunday. Just the two meetings, Craig, this weekend. It's been a strange old time of things. I was on air with you on Friday. There were only the four meetings through the course of the day. Sunday, just the two meetings. It's feast or famine in the racing world, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quietening down, isn't it, Alex, after the hectic summer period. You know, we're now getting into the twilight meetings of the turf. Evening fixtures have finished for this year. We will be moving into the all-weather season in the very near future, Alex. But, yeah, in terms of the racing at the moment, we're going through a quiet period.
We are. Saturday was fairly busy. And I say was, because by the time you're listening to this, listeners, you'll have known exactly what's happened. We're recording this at 3:40 on Saturday, so we know the main talking points, at least. Let's just have a quick look back at the Solario. That was the 2:25 from Sandown, and it went the way of Massar, the 11-8 favourite, beat Romanised into second at 7-1, the Irish rider who ran a huge race. But the winner, Massar, just looked like the horse was oozing quality throughout, basically.
Yeah, he was the horse for this race for today. I don't think he's the best long-term prospect in the field, Alex, for sure, but, you know, he was the horse that came into the race with the strongest form. You know, he was placed in the Chesham. That was on the back of a maiden success at Goodwood where, you know, he looked like he just got away with 6 furlongs on that occasion. He's a horse that will definitely get further than the 7 he won over at Sandown on Saturday. But, you know, there was a lot to like about some beaten horses that finished further back in terms of prospects for next year as three-year-olds, and they are Abelay for Hugo Palmer and Persa, who didn't get any sort of run against the rail. Of the two, I do like Abelay. I think he'll be a smashing three-year-old next year. He's been brought along gradually. He won a maiden at Redcar. You know, he ran green in the closing stages. There he is, a big horse. And then when he grows into that frame, you know, I think there's a lot of progression next year. And he'd be the main horse I'll take out this year's renewal, to be honest.
He was so impressive at Redcar, but you've got to almost take that with a pinch of salt.
Well, indeed. I mean,
it's still a win.
A Redcar maiden to a race like this at Sandown,
yeah,
and, you know, stepping up into a Group 3 is a huge jump up and grade. And mentally, you know, hopefully it will bring the horse on. And, you know, I think with a winter out at grass, and he'll come back a real nice prospect for next season.
And as for Persa, the other one that you mentioned, he only raced once for John Gosden prior to the Solario, and never really looked like winning the race on this occasion. Did go off 9-2, so was fairly well fancied in the betting, but never really looked like winning. At the same time, wasn't beaten that far in the end for a horse that never looked like winning.
Yeah, he didn't. And, you know, on his debut, although he won at Newbury, he was looked after. He was never really knocked about. It was all hands and heels. And once his chance had gone today, Frankie, you know, basically allowed him to come home in his own time. He wasn't thrashed or knocked about at any stage of the race, Alex. And there's much better to come from him, for sure. So, you know, you've got to draw a line through that, if anything, today. And, you know, I think he is the type that will probably win again before this season comes to a close.
And the other big race of the day, or one of the other feature races of the day, I should say, was the Beverley Bullet. That as we're recording this, Craig, was only half an hour ago, and Take Cover was pretty tough to win, the 3-1 favourite. But Final Venture into second at 9-2, with the Wagon Wheel flashing home to finish third at 22-1. It was a who's who of pretty hardened northern handicappers. But Take Cover, well, perhaps I'm being a bit harsh by calling some of these handicappers, because some of them are considerably better. Take Cover is a 10-year-old now, an admirable servant to the Griffiths team, and managed to win, I was going to say, against all odds there, because obviously was well fancied, had everything run to suit, but a furlong out, it was pick your challenger. They were all coming for Take Cover.
He was game, but he did have the run of the race, Alex. You know, it was tactical, wasn't it? They didn't go much of a gallop early. The two horses that made the running was Take Cover and Desert Law. Desert Law dropped away to finish sixth, but you look at the distance he was beaten back in sixth, and you know, it was all necks, short heads and heads back to him. So it was a race where it paid to be prominent. And Take Cover, you know, got to the front under Tom Quealy. He didn't go a mad gallop in the early stages, and he had enough left for the business end. And he was in the right place throughout. And, you know, he carried the £3 penalty and ran out a game winner at the finish. But, you know, very much enjoying the run of the race at the head of affairs.
Any eye catches in behind?
There was a lot finishing, wasn't there? As you said, there's not a huge amount open to a lot of progression from where they are. Probably the Wagon Wheel, you know, was the one that finished fastest of all. He is only a 3-year-old against some of the older horses, so there might be more to come from him. You know, when he won at Chester, I think it was, earlier in the season, he came from a long, long way back on that occasion to get up. That's his running style. So a stiffer test may suit the Wagon Wheel in future, but
That was the horse's first run over five since the debut win, which was at Beverley. Since then, it's been tried at six. It's quite an ask for a horse to go back down to five in a race where you know they're going to go off so hard.
She wants, for me, ideally, her optimum conditions would be 6 furlongs in a race which is, you know, full of front runners, and they go a real strong gallop.
Yeah. But there's certainly ability there, and it'll be interesting to see exactly where the Wagon Wheel does end up. But Take Cover, your winner of the 2017 Beverley Bullet. We'll move on to Sunday's racing then, and as I said, just the two meetings, Brighton and Worcester. It goes without saying that Brighton is the two clear meeting, what with being the only flat racing available. We'll start by looking at two races at Brighton, then we'll switch codes and head to Worcester. The first Brighton race we're going to focus on is the 2:30. It's a handicap over 6 furlongs. Just a 6 runners here. We've got Buxted Dream, who had looked a little bit frustrating, but the penny may just be dropping with this 3-year-old. And whether you were going to make excuses for what he was doing when he was finishing second all the time or not, you can't deny that the last two outings, including over course and distance, were just fine.
Indeed, Alex. I think he was valued for a little bit more than that neck verdict over Bohemian Sunrise last time as well, here at Brighton, over this course and distance. And, you know, he's certainly nothing wrong with his attitude. And, you know, he could well complete the hat-trick here. Bohemian Sunrise, of course, ran in the opening handicap at Sandown on Saturday and finished a respectable third on that occasion. So, in a way, the form from Brighton has received a slight boost. And only £1 higher on a mark of 80. I think he's definitely the one they have to beat. And looking at his rivals, Related, I think, is in the grip of the handicapper now. Mm-hmm. He dropped away very tamely at Thirsk and couldn't be of interest on the back of that effort. Icy Mist could be the one at a price who proves to be the biggest danger. I've got this marked as a mare that is certainly at her best on sharp tracks like Brighton. She's a previous course and distance winner. She's dropping like a stone in the weights. You know, it was only 4 or 5 runs ago she was off marks in the low 90s. Mm. She's now off 84. I have watched her Windsor and Haydock runs back in the hope that I could recommend her with it and bet her with a little bit of confidence. But there wasn't, in all honesty, a great deal to take from either run. Hopefully, you know, the switch back to a track like Brighton can bring about some improvement for Icy Mist. And I think, you know, at the prices, she will probably prove to be the biggest danger to Buxted Dream.
Mitch Godwin does take 5 off as well, so effectively she's run off 79
very well
here.
Handicapped.
She's not had Mitch Godwin on for the last few starts, so she is dropping, as you said, so much, but it's a dark horse.
Well, clutching at straws, really, aren't we, on recent evidence?
Yeah.
We are clutching at straws
I think
a little bit, but
it's more of a, listeners, this horse will win at some point, probably in the next four or five runs. Make sure you don't miss out.
Yeah, well, we're hoping to see a little bit more from her,
yeah,
with a view at the future. But it wouldn't be the biggest shock if she, you know, bounced back here in this race. But, you know, in terms of recent form, Buckstead Dream, the three-year-old, is the one to be with. Up Avon, another one who'll probably go off second, third favourite. He needs everything to drop right now, doesn't he? He needs produced right on that line. And if he hits the front too soon, you know, he can chuck his races away. So he has a habit of that. So he's one to take on. Buckstead Dream to be Icy Mist for me.
Okay. Buckstead Dream then in the 2:30 from Brighton. The 3 o'clock from Brighton is the other race that we're going to focus on the flat at least. And it's a novice stakes over 7 furlongs. And the eye is immediately drawn right up to the top here. And My Boy Henry is carrying a lot of weight. But there is a reason for that.
Been in good form, Alex. He's won 2 races at Musselburgh. He contested a listed race in France last time. Wasn't disgraced in that race. Clifford Lee takes £3 off, you know, which will help. But this could be a stiff task for him. For me,
what I would say, sorry, Craig, sorry to interrupt. There's 3 non-runners already in this race that we're looking at: Dazzle Gold, Zabaleta Swansong, and Miss Mo Brown Bear. 2 for Hannon, 1 for Cowell. And as I said, we're recording this on Saturday, so they're fairly early non-runners. I can't think of any reason why, especially, but could be something to just take note of.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the way I was looking at the race, and thanks for drawing that to my attention, because I hadn't seen that. Teopolo was the one that set the standard for me based on the second to Lake Volta here at Brighton. Lake Volta was a horse that went on to win the race at Ripon, and was slightly disappointing up in class to a listed event last time, Lake Volta, but that was still a real good effort from Gary Moore's horse. So he sets a standard at this moment in time, but personally, Alex, I thought there was 2 horses that showed enough on the debut runs to be of interest here. Dazzle Gold was one.
Yep.
He's out. He doesn't run, unfortunately. And the other one was Queen's Gallery.
Okay.
I thought was very, very green at Windsor. Got going all too late in the day. The penny did drop in the latter stages. And he was a horse that ran on with a great deal of promise. I think he can take a big step forward from his first to second start. The horses that have had more experience and have been in winning form, you know, don't set the bar too high here.
Yeah.
So it is a type of race that is open to an improving type, an unexposed type, and hopefully Her Majesty's horse, Queen's Gallery, could well be the one.
Okay. Queen's Gallery then gets the nod for Craig in the Brighton 3 o'clock. We'll move to Worcester then and back in time a little bit. The 2:45 is a novice's chase over the extended 2-mile trip, I should say. And it looks to be a match, really, a 2-horse race between Mad Jack Mitten and Solatentif. I can never say that one right. Solatentif. Firstly, is it a 2-horse race for you?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. And which of the two do you prefer? Because they've both got a lot to commend them, but they've also got their little quirks every now and again.
Mad Jack Mitten's a horse I've had a lot of time for, and he's still only a 7-year-old, let's not forget, as is Solatentif. So, you know, they're both, in terms of their chasing careers, are still young horses.
Yeah.
But Mad Jack Mitten has been running over hurdles of late after he had a crashing fall at the Cheltenham Festival. He's regained his confidence over Timber. He was a winner at Aintree back in June. And I think the time is now right, you know, for him to resume his chasing career. I think he has a better attitude than Solatentif, who did jump well last time. Came to win the race at Uttoxeter alongside Work in Progress. He jumped almost to the front at the second last. He looked to have a good opportunity, but it was a very tame, weak finishing effort. And that would concern me. The soft ground, you know, could have been an excuse on that occasion, Alex. But I think personally that this horse, you know, doesn't find a great deal under pressure. Tongue tie on for the first time. Again, that may help and bring about some improvement. But on the evidence we've seen so far, I think Mad Jack Mitten's a more battle-hardened performer.
Yeah.
I think he'll find more when he comes off the bit. Aidan Coleman is responsible for doing the steering, and he'd be a confident vote in what looks a match bet in the Novice Chase at 2:45.
And Magic Mitten also tongue-tied for the first time, so hopefully that can just bring about a little bit of improvement. Not that it needs any, of course, on ratings. Magic Mitten will take the beating in that Worcester 2:45. The final race we're going to focus on is Worcester's 4:15. It's a handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles, and plenty of these arrive here in cracking form, although a lot of these have been on the go for some time now.
Indeed, Foxy Ag's been in terrific form of late, hasn't he, in novice hurdles. He's been dominating from the front. Alex Bree steps into handicap company, into a class three as well. You know, for this time of year, he's found a competitive enough race for his first start at this level.
Or even her first start.
Well, there you go. That wouldn't be the first time that I mix up the mares, the geldings, and the colts, Alex. But yes, indeed, her first start in handicap company. And I don't think, you know, the handicapper has been too lenient either. He hasn't missed a mark of 122. She's shown a nice attitude. She's dominated from the front. This will be tougher.
And Paige Fuller, by the way, is a really good jockey. She's fantastic, particularly around these sort of summer jumping courses. Like, if you can find a nice tight track, she's very good at getting the horse in a good position and giving it every chance to go and win its race.
Yeah, I think she'll go from the front again here for sure. But, you know, again, I think it's a stiff task for her, and we'll be passing her over on this occasion. Matchaway, a horse for me that would be better going the other way around now. You know, he jumped out to his right at Soval last time. I think he's just going to be a better horse going right-handed. So for a mark of 121, he's one to pass over. Deauville Dancer wouldn't be too badly handicapped coming back to hurdles after being chasing recently off a mark of 116, but he isn't a horse that I've warmed to all that much, to be honest. An ex Sir Mark Prescott horse on the level. I'm going to take an improving type. And again, I think mentally he's a horse that is turning the corner of late. Only a four-year-old, Winford, trained by Dan Skelton. Only two runs ago at Stratford. You know, he's still looking green under pressure when beaten by Mizzen Master on that occasion. But at Bangor last time, Harry Skelton, you know, went for home and asked him to win his race a little bit sooner. He got to the front and he kept lengthening and he kept responding and he looked more professional. He showed a better attitude of Bangor than he did at Stratford. Only a four-year-old. I think he is the type, you know, because he's been a little bit inexperienced, you know, he's gotten to handicaps off a decent mark and, you know, now he's getting the hang of the game.
Yeah.
He's progressing, but he still isn't badly treated on 116. So there could well be more to come from Winford and he'd get the vote in the 4:15.
Looks to have really solid claims. But what I would say, listeners, is if I'm saying that the horse has got solid claims and I never, ever get Dan Skelton right, then just be wary. But looks to have a good chance in that Worcester 4:15. Can you just spin us through your four fancies then, Craig, for Sunday's racing, and let us know which of the four you're most keen on.
Yes, indeed. Buckstead Dream kicks us off in the 2:30 at Brighton. In the 3 o'clock down on the south coast, we're going for a winner in the Royal Colours for Queen's Gallery. In the 2:45 at Worcester, Mad Jack Mitten for John Joe O'Neill. And in the 4:15, we're going for Winford for Dan Skelton and Harry Skelton. The best of the four for me, Alex, I'll go for the one that should be the biggest price, and that'll be Queen's Gallery.
Okay, certainly very interesting. Thanks, Craig. Thanks for joining me on this podcast. Best of luck with your fancies for Sunday, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.